Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and may I begin by thanking you for entrusting me with this very important task. I hope I live up to your high expectations. I will try to do so. I'm also very mindful of the lateness of the hour, and so my comments will be brief. I'm sure everybody around the room is going, thankfully, so we can all get out of here and go get salt for our driveways and start shoveling and everything else that we need to do for the storm that's coming tomorrow. I also want to start by commending and thanking the IOM and represented here by Ms. Livermore and Mr. Scott for their excellent presentations. What I have noted with a great degree of satisfaction is that the IOM is looking at this question of migration and returning migrants, particularly from both sides of the coin. It is not an easy question to address by any means. While all our countries are probably more concerned and alarmed by the inevitable difficulties that come from or come with deportees who have come with their own criminal backgrounds, as it were, their histories, their criminal or unsavory past, we have to recognize that voluntary migrants also have needs. They have questions. They are often persons who have lived outside of their home countries for many, many, many years. They may have visited from time to time, which happens a lot in the Caribbean region, I know for sure. We all go back home to see our grandparents, to see our family members, to enjoy the typical foods and weather. And if you come from the sunny Caribbean, this is a plug for Grenada tourist industry, you want to go to the beach and the waterfalls. So we do that in a holiday mode when we're living abroad. But when we return home to live, very often it's with that romantic notion, probably from childhood, probably from vacations, and not necessarily as an integrated contributing member of society. People often return voluntarily to retire, to build a dream home with their hard-won earnings abroad in more lucrative professions or lines of work in bigger economies like the United States, United Kingdom, and so on. But when they return and they face reality, they have no longer the network of friends that they left behind when they were children in that home country, or the network that they left behind in their adopted countries. So they find themselves very lonely. They find themselves out of sorts, not knowing where to turn for entertainment, for activities, for involvement, engagement. So they have their needs. And those are just some of them, which I did not hear mentioned today, probably because I was in and out so much during the day. And I do apologize, Mr. Chairman, but I thank you again for understanding my other commitments. But these are questions, as well as the ones that you heard today, which underscore the need for the kind of attention that the IOM is giving to voluntary returnees. And there are lessons to be learned from both kinds of situations. We talk about migration and returning migrants as very similar, but also as very diverse issues because of the fundamental difference in the nature of the will of the migrant in the return process. That's clear. I'm not saying anything new, but it is worth remarking on. Because yet there are similar issues, they have to be addressed somewhat differently. And yet I was struck that in both of the presentations today, there were marked similarities in how they are to be treated. First of all, there is a recognition that governments need to be involved and need to have programs and processes and services that support both kinds of returnees. That is imperative. There are suggestions, practices by the IOM that, for example, the civil society organizations should be involved, that charitable organizations can be involved, that welcome centers are set up, that information channels are open for both groups, so that there are common success stories, there are common and good lessons to be learned. And all of that is very encouraging. It's encouraging for more than one reason. Why? Because we are not talking about individuals with individual predicaments. We are talking about societies. We are talking about communities. We're talking about nations, about their stability, about their sustainability. When you look at the objectives, the main objectives of both the programs for the voluntary returnees, which Mr. Liverpool mentioned this morning, that objective is for the sustainable reintegration of the beneficiary. And when Mr. Scott spoke this evening, he spoke of the main goal being making returnees, involuntary returnees, productive members of society. So the objectives are essentially the same. They require, they're long-term objectives that require long-term and well-thought-out, well-planned solutions and programs. So the point that I take away from this all is that there are lessons for member states, and this is a meeting for the benefit of member states, to learn, to exemplify. I think both programs for voluntary and involuntary track along the same lines. Anticipating returnees, anticipating their needs, even though individuals may have specific needs, they still have very similar needs. There are packages. I mean, the range is only so wide. It's not infinite. And they can be defined, and the projects and programs can be developed. The IOM has already been doing so, and successfully. And so the reason that I find it encouraging is because whether you talk about integrating or reintegrating the more difficult involuntary returnees, and they're more difficult to reintegrate because they have their particular kinds of history and background and culture, and you want to make sure that it is complementary to your community, and that they would willingly come forward to integrate. The voluntary returnees are willing, so there is no challenge. The challenge is not as great. But in bringing them there, we have to protect, as member states, the fabric of our societies. And that is why these programs are so encouraging, the ones that we heard about today from the IOM. I just wish we had more time for them to tell us more of their success stories, because for so much of us, we can tell many unsuccessful experiences with having involuntary returnees come back to our countries. They bring with them far more sophisticated kinds of crime and criminal backgrounds that are foreign to our countries most of the time. And they're therefore a very grave danger to the quality of life and sometimes to the incidences of crime. We have those stories, we have the statistics, and this is something that we have been grappling with here, not just here, but the CARICOM Caucus of Ambassadors here has been charged with finding solutions here, and we have been looking at it. So we're all very sensitive, and I say that just speaking from Grenada's experience, not to exclude or say that it doesn't exist anywhere else, but we do have these predicaments. So we are, I believe, to look forward to how can we, as member states, use from the lessons learned through the programs by the IOM for both voluntary and involuntary returnees, how do we exemplify those good lessons where they exist, and seek in our way to provide the proper leadership for programs that enhance the security, sustainability of our own societies, communities, and nations, and how do we find the resources to do so? That is still the question to be answered. And that is where I think the IOM continues to have a role to play, where our governments, of course, have to provide the direction, the initiative. We are pleased to hear that there are voluntary funds that the IOM can have access to for special needs. I would suggest, Mr. Chairman, that this is where member states, we have to craft our proposals and formalize our requests so that we can access those kinds of benefits and one day report at a working group like this on our very own success stories. I want to thank you again, Mr. Chairman, for the privilege of offering my thoughts on the presentations by the IOM, congratulate them again on the excellent work that they are doing, and also to the other presenters who guided our debate today. Thank you, sir.